connecting life and faith. This is Connections.
If you're walking out that discipleship journey of life, then your faith is always going to be growing and strengthening. And I probably didn't realize it at the time. I was so focused on staying alive and, you know, finding a place to stay. But when I look back on it years later, I can say, wow, that was such a time of growth for me.
Today's guest gave up a successful career as a publicist in New York City to buy a one-way ticket around the world. It was through this experience that she was able to strengthen her faith and find out so much more. Today in Connection, she'll share that story with us and why she made that decision. I'm joined today by Angie Orth. She is an author. We're going to get around to that book in a little bit, but we need to get to know you, first of all, a little bit better. You have quite the interesting life. You were successful. You were a successful publicist, but you weren't feeling it. You needed a change in life. Tell us a little bit about what happened from there.
So yeah, I worked in New York City for many years as a publicist, and I did love it. I enjoyed the work, but many things happened, and it occurred to me one day that I loved my job more than my job would ever love me, and I was really pouring the best of myself into something that was not going to be rewarding any way other than maybe financially, and even then we weren't there yet. So It took me some time, but I just realized that I wanted something else out of life. You know, I wanted more purpose, and more purpose than just making money for other people.
And then you decided to leave that and go on a solo trip around the world.
Yes,
who does that? Tell us about what happened from there. That's not something I would do. But then again, I don't like travel. So that's my reasoning.
Okay. So I don't know when it was, but I was reading, I was a travel publicist. So I worked with travel writers and travel creators all the time. And one day I was reading something and it was talking about this RTW, round the world trip. And it stuck in my head from that moment. Like, I have to do that someday. And I thought, I'll never be able to, you know, with my work schedule, I can't even leave for a week at a time, much less any longer than that. I'd never be able to take a sabbatical. So it kind of just started working its way into my head and my heart that I was going to have to leave to be able to do this big year-long trip. And I just decided it's going to be a year, and it's going to be the year of when I'm 29. And then when I'm 30, I'll come back and I'm going to be serious. Like, I'm going to get my life together, and I'm going to be a grown-up, and enough with all this traveling nonsense. And obviously that didn't happen because I'm still traveling and not quite so serious, but that's sort of how it all started.
Okay. So you traveled around the world. Tell us a little bit about that. And I want to know, faith wise, when you started traveling, where that was, and then what happened in the midst of all of this traveling?
You know, I've been a believer since I was a little kid. And at that point in my life, probably was just getting into realizing a lot more about God's character and God's love for me, and not just God as kind of the angry guy who wants you to be perfect and wants you to try harder and wants you to do better. I was learning a lot more about God's character then. And it was really good timing, because I could go out into the world, and I went to about 13 countries in the year, visited five continents in that year, and just saw and met all different kinds of people from different backgrounds, and met Christians all around the world, and got to go to church in so many different countries, and just interacting, especially on the harder times, just being able to walk into a church and feel at home, even if I was in Indonesia or Australia or wherever I was. That was just a miracle in its own little way, to be able to kind of find your people everywhere you go.
Would you say it strengthened your faith, getting to experience all these different places and these different places of worship?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think if you're walking out that discipleship journey of life, then your faith is always going to be growing and strengthening. And I probably didn't realize it at the time. I was so focused on like staying alive and, you know, finding a place to stay. But when I look back on it years later, I can say, wow, that was such a time of growth for me, because I didn't have anywhere to stay. I didn't have anybody to rely on. It was just like me and God out there, and every little daily decision, you know, I could either try and figure it out myself, or I could ask for wisdom at the beginning of every day and know that God kind of had my back and would always catch me. And he always did. Not to say that there weren't hiccups, but you know, it definitely strengthened my faith.
I'm going to backtrack a little bit. What did your family and your friends think when you said, hey, like, I'm going to go, I'm quitting my job, I'm taking off, and I'll be back when I get back? What did they think?
Just abject horror and disapproval. Everybody was against it. They were like, this is impulsive. Why would you throw your career away? You'll never get another job ever again because this looks so flaky. And it's so funny to look at now with this lens, because it would hardly be a shock if someone did that now. But when I did it, it was very much like, you're throwing everything away. You're never going to be a mother because you're getting too old, and you're just giving up all the things that make a woman valuable just to go be selfish and travel and whatever. So it was definitely fighting, going against the grain at that time. For sure.
But now you are still traveling. You do have your book now, Flirting with Disaster. Tell us about that book and why you've continued to travel after all of this.
Yeah, let's see. I was in the right place at the right time, I'll say. It was the wave, the very first of the wave of kind of becoming a blogger that could then monetize and be a creator. So I was there. I started it before you could even think of those things. It was not a career. It was not something you could make a living at. And then I did my trip and I built this following, and then I was just there and it just kept happening. So I continue to be a content creator of travel, and I love it. It's really fun. I love being able to tell other people how to travel safely and on a budget and where to go and where not to go. I love being able to be like a travel evangelist and not a traveling evangelist. Those are different things, right? But yeah, and so I finally got to write my book about that year abroad. And I blogged, obviously, all the way through. But that was more like, I saw a giraffe today and a fun thing happened, and check out this cool picture I took. The book is much more vulnerable and behind the scenes and what was going on in my faith life, in my relationship life, and how all those different destinations kind of played into that. So it's definitely travel, but it's got a lot of faith and a lot of heart. And it's also really funny. I know it says disaster on the cover, but it's also very light and there's a lot of joy in it.
Speaking of joy, I watched your social media when your book first hit the shelves. Mm-hmm. What was that like to see the book? I know you were in tears in the video, but what did that feel like inside at that moment?
I think I'm still processing because it was such a huge dream. And I think when you have your dream in your hands and it's something that's taken basically your whole life to kind of condense into 80,000 words, it's a lot to process. But every time I see the book on a store shelf, I'm just like grateful and in awe. Like I can cry just thinking about it. It's so exciting that I had a dream and I got to do it. I got to write the book I wanted to write. I got to tell my story of faith and I didn't have to water it down for anybody or any reason. It's just my story. And like that, a lot of people don't get to do that. So I think I'm just very grateful about it. Every day I wake up very grateful about it.
Now the book's been out for a little while. What's the response been like from those who've had the opportunity to read it?
It's been what I dreamed it would be. Like I feel like it's falling into the right people's hands, and they're like, this is relatable. It's funny. I laughed out loud. Like I just wanted people to laugh out loud. And I've had some really great reviews that have just given me just all the validation that the work was worth it, and the blood, sweat, and tears, and the heartbreak, and all the fear. And there's so much that goes into it. And yeah, writing a memoir is not easy. Writing a memoir is just like cutting yourself open and letting everybody take a peek inside. And I probably didn't know that going into it. I think if I knew what I knew now, I would have been even more scared of it. But yeah, it's amazing.
Writing anything about yourself.
It
sends shivers down my spine. Not something that I enjoy either. You mentioned, though, you've heard that it's been landing in the right hands. Who were you hoping to reach with this book?
I think it's for anybody who didn't know what to do at some point or still doesn't know what to do. And I think when I, like I said, I was 29 and I thought 30, you know, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to have it together and I'm going to know what's next and I'm going to have it all together. And I didn't. And that's who this is for. It's the person that's like, I thought I would have it together by now. So that can be somebody who's 18, who's under all this pressure to pick their major or what they're going to do with their life, or somebody who's in their late 20s and it's like, it's not how I thought it would be by now. And I thought I would have it more figured out, or somebody in their 40s who's like, I made a lot of sacrifices for other people in my young life. And I wonder if there's more to see and more to do. And do I have permission to do something that maybe doesn't align with what everybody else thought you should do? So definitely, I just think it's for somebody who's ever questioned if they're on the right path.
What would you say to that person who's sitting there going, oh, you know, I hear her saying, yeah, you know, I'm not exactly where I wanted to be, but look, her life is fantastic now. How can she talk about this? What would you say to that person that's kind of sitting there going, I'm never going to get to that point?
I would say nobody's life is fantastic all the time. And I do hear that a lot. I hear, oh, I wish I could travel all the time like you. And I think, wow, you don't even know what goes into it and how different it is now as a professional traveler versus just somebody who did it for fun. Like, everybody is dealing with things behind the scenes. And be nicer to yourself, for one thing, and have more grace with yourself, because then that spills over to other people. And yeah, like, think outside the box. You don't have to do what everybody expects you to do. I think hold up those expectations to the word and compare those and see what did Jesus really say about what a woman's role is and where the just like, how are we going to be powerful for the kingdom? What does that look like for you? And God's given us all different talents and different strengths. And so I don't think everybody is supposed to be doing the same thing. I think there's just, God is more creative than that, than to put every single person in a box. And so go figure out what that is. What makes you come alive? For me, it was travel. I was so excited about it. And I wanted to go meet people and go do all these things. And also know that it's going to change. We're not the people that used to work at the same job for 50 years. And like, that doesn't happen anymore. And that's okay. You do not have to stick with what you decided when you were 18 years old. You do not have to stick with your major. And there's so much pressure to do that and to kind of pick and stick with it. And you don't have to. The world is your oyster. And I say that as someone who, I feel like I change careers every 3 years because there's always some new thing. Like, I just started podcasting last year. And I love it. How have I not been podcasting all this time? It's so much fun. And I actually blog a lot less than I used to. So it's fluid. And you don't have to pick one thing to do. It's just kind of figuring out where God wants you and just walking that out every day. It's not easy. Nobody has it figured out. I do not have it figured out. 100%. I have no idea what's going on. But I wrote a book because I figured out what happened back then. And I hope that it can help somebody in that sort of stage of making decisions.
Speaking of that book and speaking of you, for listeners, the listeners that want to follow you, want to find out more information about the book, how can they go about doing that?
So the book is Flirting with Disaster, True Travel Tales of Fear, Failure, and Faith. And you can find it anywhere books are sold. So that's very exciting. And then I'm all over every social media platform as Angie Away. Away, away. And I'm just everywhere. Threads, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the places, because that's what you do when you're a professional content creator. So you can find me there. And then my website is angieaway.com. And that's the website I started to travel. So it is 13 years of resources and help you plan a trip and inspiration.
Wow. One last question. If you could turn back time and change anything along the way, would you?
I'd probably keep it the same because I know how the things I went through are helping other people now to navigate. And so, you know, unselfishly, I say for them, I'm glad it all happened. I probably would have been a little more prepared in certain ways, and I would have had better travel insurance coverage and medical evacuation and various things like that. But I think just the wisdom that comes with doing it and age and being better prepared. But yeah, I don't think I'd change anything. It worked out the way it was supposed to. I learned the lessons that God had for me, and it's gotten me to where I am now. So wouldn't change.
I said that was going to be my last question, but you brought up the travel insurance thing, and I forgot to ask you, like, you have had quite the experience in your travel. You yeah. have, when you say flirting with disaster, you've literally flirted with disaster along the trip. Can you share just a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the year that the book is based on was 2011. So I started out in Fiji. My first 5 days abroad, there was a hurricane that, you know, was causing flooding where I was. Then it was Australia. It was an enormous cyclone. It was biblical flooding. Then I went to, when I was in New Zealand, and then they had an earthquake that decimated the whole city that I was just in. So, and then there was the Japanese tsunami. And then, like, I could go on every place I went. Arab Spring happened that year when I went to Egypt. There were protests in Greece. It was a crazy year to be out traveling on my own. And I had this like Forrest Gump journey of being in the middle of these big news events again and again and again. So makes for a great story. It was pretty terrifying when it was happening, especially like for my parents and grandparents who were like, you have to come home. This is getting ridiculous. And yeah, so there was a lot of natural disaster, a lot of man-made unrest, a lot of protests and violence and riots and shootings. I think it didn't deter me from traveling, obviously, but it did give me some perspective on world events and that there's always something going on somewhere. And I don't know, we can't have too much compassion for what other people are going through, and knowing other people's cultures really helps you to understand their response to things. Even just on social media, you see someone being really reactive to something, and if you understand a bit about their background or what they've been through, what their family's been through, then you can kind of take that in a different way.
Just opens up your eyes to a whole new perspective on the world. Thank you so much for sharing your experience with us and for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been great.